I want to read this to you, and I hope you'll bear with me just for a minute. This will minister to you. There was a man several years ago, many years ago, named John Blanchard. And he stood up from the bench, straightened his army uniform, and studied the crowd of people making their way through Grand Central Station. He looked for the girl whose heart he knew, but whose face he didn't. The girl with the rose. This is a true story. His interest in her had begun 13 months before in a Florida library. Taking a book off the shelf, he found himself intrigued, not with the words of the book, but with the notes penciled in the margin. The soft handwriting reflected a thoughtful soul and an insightful mind. In the front of the book, he discovered the previous owner's name, Miss Hollis Maynell. With time and effort, he located her address. She lived in New York City. He wrote her a letter introducing himself and inviting her to correspond. The next day, he was shipped overseas for service in World War II. During the next year and 1 month, the two grew to know each other through the mail. Each letter was a seed falling onto a fertile heart. A romance was budding. Blanchard requested a photograph, but she refused. She felt that if he really cared, it wouldn't matter what she looked like. When the day finally came for him to return from Europe, they scheduled their first meeting, 7 p.m. at Grand Central Station in New York. "You'll recognize me," she wrote, "by the red rose I'll be wearing on my lapel." So at 7 o'clock, he was in the station looking for a girl whose heart he loved, but whose face he had never seen. In his words, this is what happened. "A young woman was coming towards me, her figure long and slim. Her blonde hair lay back in curls from her delicate ears. Her eyes were blue as flowers. Her lips and chin had a gentle firmness. And in her pale green suit, she was like springtime come alive. I started towards her, entirely forgetting to notice that she was not wearing a rose. As I moved, a small, provocative smile curved her lips. 'Going my way, sailor,' she murmured. Almost uncontrollably, I made one step closer to her, and then I saw Miss Hollis Maynell. She was standing directly behind the girl, a woman well past 40. She had graying hair tucked under a worn hat. She was a big lady, her thick-ankled feet thrust into low-heeled shoes. The girl in the green suit was walking away quickly. I felt as though I was split in two, so keen was my desire to follow her, and yet so deep was my longing for this lady whose spirit had truly companioned me and upheld my own through the war. And there she stood. Her pale, plump face was gentle and sensible. Her gray eyes had a warm and kindly twinkle. I did not hesitate. My finger gripped the small, worn, blue leather copy of the book that was identifying me to her. This would not be love, but it would be something very special. Something perhaps better than love, a friendship for which I had been and must ever be grateful. I squared my shoulders and saluted and held out the book to the lady, even though while I spoke I felt choked by the bitterness of my own disappointment. 'I'm Lieutenant John Blanchard, and you must be Miss Hollis Maynell. I'm so glad you could meet me. May I take you out to dinner?' The woman's face broadened into a tolerant smile. 'I don't know what this is about, son,' she answered, "but the young lady in the green suit who just went by, she begged me to wear this rose on my coat. And she said if you were to ask me out to dinner, I would go and tell you that she's waiting for you in the restaurant across the street. She said it was some kind of test.'" It's not difficult to understand and admire Miss Maynell's wisdom. The true nature of a heart is seen in its response to the unattractive. "Tell me who you love, and I will tell you who you are." Hollis Maynell, however, is far from the first person to gauge a heart by a person's concern for the undesirable. In the last sermon recorded by Matthew, Jesus does exactly that. He does it not with a parable, but with a description. He doesn't tell a story, but he describes a scene, the last scene, the final judgment. In his final discourse, he puts into words the very message he has put into actions. Love for the least. We saw in the last chapter of the last judgment, for on that day Jesus will separate the sheep from the goats, the good from the wicked. On what basis will he make his selection? The answer may surprise you. "I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was alone and away from my home, and you invited me into your house. I was without clothes, and you gave me something to wear. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me." What is the sign of the saved? Their degrees? their willingness to go to foreign lands, their ability to gather great crowds and preach. How about how many books or songs they've written? Their great miracles? No. The sign of the saved is their love for the least.